What's up, ladies and gents? It's Matt, Dorian, and Jake, the fellas of What You Spinnin'. We are here and we are ready to rock. It's been 2 weeks with three great albums. Went a little out there with a couple of these. Some tried and true favorites, some favorites doing some wild stuff. But we'll get to that in a minute. How are you boys doing today?
Doing
Good.
good. Doing
Rock
great.
on.
It's fucking hot, dude. He's hot.
The my office is on, it's a house, that big ass house on the corner of 7th, you know. But it's two different AC units because it's a two-story house. And the downstairs one where all of like the assistant staff works went out this week.
Ooh.
And so
Oh my God.
I already work in an office where everybody is cold all the time, so it stays at 70 to 72 degrees anyway, which is not my, that's not my vibe.
No.
But it was 78, 79 degrees in the building this week, and it's only gonna get hotter.
Yep.
And so it reminds me, y'all remember that summer we worked at the credit union together and the AC went out in there with
And
those
they
big ass
brought in
pictures?
like these units to like help us out. Yeah, that didn't help at all.
Yeah, that's, I'm reliving that again. I was like, oh great, this is this is hell.
Dude, thanks.
But yeah, it's been hot. This has been great music to listen to when it's hot. But as we always talk about in this little beginning section, what have we been jamming? What's new? What's exciting? Anybody listen to anything cool? What do we want to share?
You can start off, Jake.
Oh, sure. What have we been listening to? I don't know.
I've got a couple if you need to think.
Well, we did recently what I've been listening to, it like just came out, so I'm still sitting on it, but I like it so far. Let God Sort 'Em Out, Clips' new album. They finally came out with a new album right after, it's been like 10 plus years. I don't know how long. It's been a while. Pretty good. I liked it. I did see they also like pretty much right on timing. Also, there was a Tiny Desk show that they did, Clips did, which was interesting. Never would I ever have thought that I'd see Clips doing a Tiny Desk show, but they did a lot of Lord Willin', which was cool. A lot of songs off of that album that we covered. But besides that, Gabor Sazon, I think is how you pronounce it. Oh God, what would you call that? It's like jazzy fusion kind of with like Latin music is kind of what it gives me. Pretty good. We tried looking for some of it up in Portland yesterday, but couldn't find it. Not the album we were looking for, but it was good stuff. Gabor Zabao, I think. Zabo, I think.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. I don't know if y'all checked this out. Duran Jones came out with a new album called Flowers. It's pretty good. Really leaning into that like R&B soul that they do so well. That's a really good project. Check it out. I was bumping it quite a lot last weekend. Other than that, I don't think anything really. Deftones finally put out a single for their new album that comes out next month. So I was
Yeah.
listening. That came out on Thursday. Pretty good. But yeah, I haven't listened to anything like too, out there, shocking or crazy. We went on like a 90s, 2000s country kick on Friday night, you know.
I don't know. Do you want to talk about that? I don't know.
No, just jamming, you know. But then it devolved, you know, because I on Friday the missus was doing afternoon drinking with her
Okay.
law firm, and We came home, and so we were just carrying that energy, you know, just having a couple beers and listening to music. So it slowly devolved. It went from that to me playing like half of 10 by Pearl Jam by the end of the night.
Ooh,
Yeah, by the end of the
nice.
night, we're listening to fucking Black. We're listening to Jet. You know, I threw
Was
on,
everything?
dude, I threw on Them Bones. Yeah, dude,
Oh, wow.
it was a fucking high school locker room in here before a football game. It was.
It's like Alternative Nation on MTV back in the mid-90s. Love it,
Yeah,
dude.
man. Yeah. I was, because you know how it goes. You sit there long enough and you're like, oh yeah, you completely changed the vibe of what you were listening to. And I was like, yeah, fuck you, Tim McGraw. I'm listening to Eddie Vedder
Tim
now. So yeah, that was fun. But yeah, check out that Duran Jones album. It's really good. Couple really good tracks on that. But Matt, what
Nice.
about you, dude?
Kind of been all over the place. I dove back in. I was sitting outside last weekend in the backyard in the early afternoon, and Slift came on. The Uman album came on, and man,
Oh,
the
that one's so
guitar
good.
work and like overall like ambient atmosphere that album puts out, I think would make anybody a fan if they'd never heard that album before. It's just so good. So I kind of dove back into that, and then Tyler Childress has a new album out called Snipe Hunter. It's not bad. It's not like the old one that we reviewed, but it's got his vocals and his his twanginess on it, so I appreciated that. And then
Yeah.
I kind of dove back into like mid-90s Master P funk era, like Mystical and stuff like that. Like I don't know why Silk the Shocker.
Oh, dude, fuck yeah.
Right. So kind of got back into him and the na-na-na-na, like kind of vibe. So that's been fun. Mystical's great. Like he's pretty much the godfather of like mumble rap, in my opinion, because he honestly you don't know what the hell he's saying until he starts yelling, and then you can kind of decipher what he's saying. But it's fun. Silk the Shocker, Snoop Dogg, like that whole album is just the whole like No Limit, that whole thing is just really cool. So.
Hell yeah. I did give Enter the 36 Wu-Tang. I did give that a good listen, over 2 days. I kind of was like revisiting that. I was like, I don't know, something about needed a little ODB, a little ODB and Method Man in the blood system this week. So I kind of feel you on going back to some of that kind of stuff. That's good
Nice.
shit. Yeah.
I almost sent you guys a song last night. I'm like, well, I'll hold on to it. I'll keep it in my pocket for now.
Oh, okay. Now
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'm gonna turn you upside down and shake it out of your
I might
pocket.
throw it at you guys after the cast. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Rock on. Okay. We're going to see, did you see this that this was coming to town, Matt? Parliament and Funkadelic with George
I heard
Clinton
about that. Yeah,
coming to
Miranda's
the
going.
cliff.
Yeah,
We're going
Miranda.
too.
Are you nice?
Yeah. I was like, we should. I was like, I don't know, that'd be kind of fun. And she's like, bottom. She's like, fuck it. Like, we're not doing anything. So
Nice.
that'll be, I don't know why. I'm like, it's gonna be something. It'll definitely
That'd
be
be
something to talk
fun.
about on here.
Be a great venue to go to watch
Yeah.
that thing. Yeah.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. That
Where
was
is it
like
at?
part it's at the Cuthbert.
Nice. They were just in Bend like 2, 3 weeks ago, not too long ago.
Hell yeah. We
Everybody
need the
goes to Bend.
funk.
Yeah, everybody goes to Bend. My morning jacket's gonna be there pretty soon in August, I think. Like yeah,
Oh.
everybody goes to Bend.
Heck yeah. All right, are we ready? Shall we?
Let's do it.
Shall we? All righty. Well, we don't got any other music to share for now, but we've got three damn good albums to talk about and give a little review appreciation session for. I'm Dorian, that's Matt, and that's Jake. We're What You Spinning. We'll be right back to kick off this wonderful episode 95. Stick around. It's time for What You Spin in episode 95. And Matt, you're a little stinker because I think you did this on purpose. Episode 95,
What?
1995. We're going
Ooh.
back to one of the best years in music we've reviewed. We've talked a shit ton about this. We dedicated a whole episode to it. We've brought up a lot of albums from this year outside of that, even. Matt, what album from 95 are you bringing up, dude?
Well, that's kind of a weird synchronicity that we have 95 and 95. We'll go with it. I didn't even think about that. Thank you for pointing that out. This is a band that we've reviewed in the past. We reviewed their second album, Angel Dust, but this one's going to be their fifth album. King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime by Faith No More. Definitely a different direction for this band in general, losing the guitarist that kind of made them who they were. Jim Martin left the band for this album, and they brought in the guitarist from Mr. Bungle, who Mike Patton had played with for a long time. And you can definitely tell the difference. I mean, it's night and day difference, but as far as the guitar work goes. But I feel like this album definitely showcases a lot of what this band can do. I know we heard a lot of it on Angel Dust with Mike Patton's vocal range and the dynamics from the slower songs to the really intense songs. I feel like this album has everything. It has the slow ballads, it has the fast ballads, it has the ballads that are just like too intense, so you don't know what he's saying. But again, his vocal range, he's got so many octaves, he's just working it all and showcasing his talent. And throughout the whole album, I think it just shows the dynamic sound that this band has and has had throughout their whole career of being able to perform not just a rock song, but slowing it down, speeding it up, and going all around. And I think Faith No More is one of those bands that you can't pigeonhole. Nobody else sounds like Faith No More. You can try and find another band that does, but if you do, it's just them copying the sound in essence. So for me, this is one of my favorite albums because it showcases everything they can do. I love Mike Patton. His vocal range is a dynamic. He's one of the best vocalists in rock music that I can think of. And this album showcases a lot of what this band did throughout the 90s and beyond. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, this is my first time, I think, listening to this full song or this full album. I'd heard a couple of songs off of it in the past, but it's such an interesting album to listen to because it makes you think so much about like Mike Patton and Faith No More and what you just said, like the fact that they can make songs that are borderline like cocktail lounge music, and then you've got stuff that is super reminiscent of like Anthrax thrash metal. Like, there's so much going on this. And, we ranted and raved about Angel Dust for being the same thing, but in a completely, they're two completely different examples of their versatility. You know what I mean? Like, you listen to this one time through, let's say, and you're like, oh, there's some like good aggressive songs on there. But then you listen to it a second time, you're like, well, there's actually, like you said, this is very ballad heavy, very introspective, emotional music. And it's just kind of a whirlwind that this album will kind of take you on. And, starting off with Get Out, and then it's got Mike Patton doing his goofball tongue in cheek thing that he does, on songs like Cuckoo for Caca or Ugly in the Morning. It's like but yeah, this is a very strong album. Obviously they had kind of found their rhythm with Martin, but then losing him and having the guy from Mr. Bungle come in, great choice in my opinion. They were kind of able to just pick up where they left off, probably due to the chemistry with Patton anyway. But yeah, I think this is it's like, man, I love this album and I love Angel, so it's like, God damn, now I'm almost convinced that I have to start finding more of their discography myself because these are two just phenomenal albums that you've brought up. So thanks for bringing this one up because I don't know if I would have gravitated toward this one. So.
Nice.
Yeah, for me it was already hearing the first album, Angel Dust. Like I already kind of had a in my mind already like an expectation, like what I was kind of getting into, like these slower songs, faster songs. But when I heard this, like I have once again, pretty new to Faith No More. I don't really listen to a lot of their stuff, but hearing this album for itself, for what it is, was a really solid listen. Like at first, I was a little. It was fast paced, but for me it felt like a little slower getting into. Like I don't know if I wasn't feeling it or what. But then like as the album progressed, you get those fun songs like Cuckoo for Caca, a cool like Carajo Voador, whatever that song
Yes, that's
is.
such a good song.
I was like, I like whatever, I don't know if it's Portuguese or whatever they're throwing in, but like that little hint is nice. Songs also like The Last to Know and Just a Man wraps it up perfectly. So it's like they were I don't know if they were having more fun or just experimenting more differently, but you could tell that they're at this point, their sound and what they're doing is locked in. Like it's, they'll do the slower or the fast-paced songs. They'll do songs that aren't as upbeat, songs that are, a lot more relaxed, but they nailed it. Like this album is kind of a testament to that, like how good of musicians they are. And they even to be able to adapt with a new member coming in like that, like it's, they already brought it in like they were, like they've been doing this before. So, yeah, it was really like turned my head to it a lot. Like it kind of switched my view that I had on this album at first listen. So, yeah, really, really got into it. Really dig it.
Yeah, definitely a transition period for this band in general. I think during the album, either before or during the recording process, there was a accident, like a car accident of the band suffered. Mike Patton was driving, and the keyboardist Roddy Bottom ended up not being present for most of the recording sessions due to that. And then the death of Kurt Cobain in the mid-90s, that's a huge influence on a lot of people. No matter what kind of rock music you play or whatever, you're going to be influenced by that happening. So he took a break. But coming back and looking back at this album, it doesn't seem like there's any hiccups to me. Jake, you brought up a good point with like Cuckoo for Caca and like all these other tracks, Star AD. Like it's like casino Las Vegas music almost in a sense. And to be able to do that and then cut it to like a super aggressive song is just really dynamic of what a band can do, like Faith No More. So Mike Patton, again, holding the reins down and doing his thing. Again, his language versatility, being able to speak Portuguese, I think that's what it is, and Italian on his other albums that he's done. And he's so dynamic. And I think a lot of people don't realize that about him. They just think of him as like a screamer or just like a random vocalist. But if you sit down and listen to Mike Patton, he is all over the board. He's done soundtracks for movies that have come out in the last few years. The guy's just amazing at what he does. To have an octave range that's like 18 octaves or something stupid, like some stupid sound, like he's just amazing. And to be able to come back and after putting out The Real Thing and Angel Dust, and then trying to find your voice again and switching guitarists and kind of switching the dynamic of the band in general. Jim Martin's a great player. I don't know why that whole thing dissipated. I think Jim Martin was looking for more of a rock sound, and Faith No More was going into different genres in general. They weren't sticking with a certain dynamic. It was all about seeing what they could do in general. So it was sad to lose Jim Martin, but I think the progressive dynamic of the band and where they went from here is huge. And I don't think they would have done that with Jim Martin. I think it would have stayed more rock heavy. So, I love this album for the diversity that it shows.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And you bring up like just the like Mike Patton's voice is very impressive. And the thing that's impressive to me about it is that A, he can do all of these genres, and his voice still has that like powerful like timbre to it. You know, like there's he's not doing the cocktail lounge stuff, and it's like oh, kind of goofy. You know, it's like no, it's actually fucking. He's a damn good vocalist, but then he can also do that aggressive. You know, like I kind of mentioned earlier, like that like thrashy kind of more screaming stuff. That is super versatile, and I love that. And this album's a great example of that. You know, it's also got the earworm lyrics that'll get stuck in your head. I've been singing Take This Bottle just walking around my house for the past 10 days. Just like when we did Angel Dust, I sang RV for a fucking month. And yeah, I think this is if what you're saying, I believe what you're saying that this is like a very versatile, like where they went from this album is like kind of huge. Now I'm like definitely gonna be spending some time. I might have to dive down this little Faith No More rabbit hole, see what they got going on here, because there's some just really crazy stuff. You know, the fact that you have, we've, everything that we've said about Mike Patton, but then the instrumentation behind it is super. Super dope. Like I was looking at bass lines earlier today. I'm like, what can we figure out on this? You know? Yeah, I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah, no, it's a great listen. I'm leaning more towards this album than their other album because it's just so much more like Angel Dust was good, but like this one for me, it feels like it's a lot more polished in a way. Also, it feels like they like at this point they're experimenting to the point where like they know they got it down. So you can have songs like Evidence, where it's like just in your face, aggressive, like a lot of emotion. And then songs like Just a Man, that it's like the perfect ending to the album, that it's just mellow and calm. And so it's cool that they had that like cool, Zen kind of two different styles. But all throughout, for what it is, especially for the amount of songs that it has, like it's pretty well polished, pretty well made, and really good listen. So yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm glad you
Right.
guys found some love for it. It's definitely a different album. What you got, Dory?
No, go ahead.
Like you said, Jake, Angel Dust is very rock heavy. There's not a lot of slow ballads in there at all. And you come to this album and you get Take This Bottle, Star AD, and you're just like, what? So like, I can see why Jim Martin left, because it wasn't what he was playing. But again, to not change your sound and like try to be different in the 90s, especially the mid 90s with alternative music, like, you're just going to drown and be another no-name band. So I think Faith No More stood out, after The Real Thing came out, and you got It and Falling to Pieces, all those huge songs. Like, they had to do something different. And being able to have a vocalist like Mike Patton that had the range to do those things, a lot of vocalists wouldn't have been able to do the Star AD songs and like slow it down. So I think him, bringing what he has to the band, they're all great musicians. There's so many good musicians in this band, but like, he's definitely the forefront of it and has been able to, lead that band in different directions, with the lounge music, with the heavy music, and with the slow music. Like, it's almost a country ballad with Take This Bottle, kind of a sad song about alcoholism. But at the same time, it's just a great band, and this is a great album. So I'm glad you guys liked it.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's truly a testament, and it's the thing that I just kind of was thinking about as you were mentioning all those huge songs. I'm like, yeah, let's not forget that this is the same band that put out Epic, like these. So you've got a band that can do something like Epic and it gets huge, and then the mainstream kind of, for lack of a better word, like forgets about these guys. And then they come out and they have an album where within the first three tracks, there's a song like Evidence on it. And you're like, how the fuck, like, where did that come from? And
Slows it down a
so,
lot, yeah.
exactly. And because, you listen to an album and then Spotify starts playing its thing. Epic was one of the songs that it did after I listened to this. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, you kind of forget how they, because if they would have stayed on that track, in my opinion, I think if they stay on that track with songs like Epic and not, The Real Thing, Jim Martin staying in the band, I think that they get lost in the shuffle
They do.
as one of those bands that kind of just got churned out in the mid 90s and then never really did anything unique. And, thank God, I mean, thank God that didn't happen, because we've got albums like this that are super great. Mike Patton, I think it's kind of hilarious. We're starting the podcast talking about Mike Patton. We're going to wrap it up talking about Maynard James Keenan. I think Mike Patton is just as interesting of a mind in music as a guy like Maynard James Keenan. You listen to any of Mike Patton's projects, whether it's Faith No More, Phantomas, or Bungle, Tomahawk, like all of these.
All these other things he
The
does, yeah.
dude, the yeah, or just listen to this one album. The guy's brain is fucking crazy when it comes to music. So I think for that alone, this album is worth a listen. If you want to get your mind blown, go listen to Epic and then listen to this album. It's gonna fuck you up.
Agreed.
Yeah. No, I mean that is Mike Patton and his greatness of like, just the range that he has, what he can do, and like how much work you have to be like, not only to like make these albums, let alone plus touring, plus doing your other side projects, your other bands that you have, affiliations and everything. So all that comes, at some point, a lot of work, a lot of hard time doing all of that. So yeah, it's cool that this album, it's kind of a different, different tone for all of that, that he was doing. And it's really great. Listen, I'm definitely gonna have to keep my eye out for this. Because it just really impressed me how much like different this was sounding to some of their other projects, and I'm probably gonna go back and listen to some of their other stuff, because it definitely, if it's anything like this or anything different, even like it'd be a good thing to get into.
Nice. Yeah, definitely check out Album of the Year. I think it's the follow-up to this one.
Yeah.
Just the dynamic sound of this album. So, but yeah, we
Album
can jump
of the
into
year.
top threes if you like.
Let's do it.
Sweet. Honorable mention for me was take this bottle just because it's, classic. I remember when this album first came out, I had a friend, my best friend in high school. He was very into performing because he just learned how to play guitar. And so he did his own cover version of the song. I remember him playing it in his parents' garage, with his acoustic and singing. He fucking killed it, it's fun. So good memory there. And 3-2-1, Ricochet, second track of the album, I believe, just kind of throws it in there. Very cool song. Number two, Carvalho Vador, just because of his dynamic vocal range and, using different languages in a song is always cool. And then The Last to Know. I just love the way that song starts off, lyrically, and just it's just kind of epic. And the guitar work in the middle of that song, it's so good. Like, I think that showcases what difference this guitar brings that Jim Martin, not that he didn't have it, but it's just a different sound. And it's just very like progressive in a sense. It reminds me about Alex Lifeson or, in an alternative form. It's just very like unique and intricate. I love it.
Nice. Very nice. My list kind of matches up with yours, Matt. Honorable mention, I'm going Cuckoo for Caca. It's just such a fun song. And I like that name. It's a pretty funny name. Number three, Evidence. Like that song also. A pretty fun song. Number two for me was Carvalho Vador. That was a pretty neat song. Threw me off. I was like, these guys are American. They shouldn't be doing this. Why is there another language? And then my favorite track was Just a Man. I did like that ending. Kind of a cool, mellow ending to the album. When it ended, I was like, oh man, and then just replayed it again. But those last two tracks, Last to Know to Just a Man, it's like the perfect way to wrap it up.
Yeah, I agree. I love the way they wrap this album up. Honorable mentions for me: one, Cuckoo for Caca. That one. Enough said about that. Second one for me is The Gentle Art of Making Enemies. Matt, you and I were
We
singing
didn't talk
before.
about that song very much, but Jesus
No.
Christ, the vocal range and like the screeching
Dude.
and like,
Dude. What, like, some of the shit that he's saying is like so insane. It's like, I deserve a
I deserve a
reward
reward.
because I'm the best fuck that you ever had.
Right.
Who comes up with that? Who the fuck? Like, so shout out to that one. Number three for me is Evidence. Just really like where that song ends up with that piano, the wah guitar riff, It's lounge music, basically, but it's Faith No More doing lounge music, which is kick ass, okay? And then number two for me is Take This Bottle. Great one. Just love the way that that song kind of like slowly builds. And then number one for me is Ugly in the Morning. Just that powerful, the Tom drums going, and then Mike Patton doing his like, roo. I just imagine him on the top of a fucking mountain, just bellowing. The dude's just belting it on that song.
Right.
So yeah, Ugly in the Morning.
Nice. Happy birthday, fucker. I'm glad you
Yeah.
like that
It's so good.
album.
Definitely this album, it just, after a while, you get about 2 weeks with this album, it starts to crack you up, because you're like, how the hell does it's one of those.
It gets silly after a while,
Right. Well, and it's kind of like when I went on my ambient music, like, how the fuck do you think to make this type of music? Like, this album, by the end of it, you're like, how does this one group do all of these things? And that album being King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime, released in 1995 by the great Faith No More. Go ahead and listen to this. Listen to Angel Dust, but more importantly, sounds like you got to listen to the shit that came out after this one as well. That was Matt's pick for this week. A hell of a way to start off this wonderful episode 95 of What You Spinning. We'll be right back to slow it way down and go just a couple years prior to where we are now to 2023. We'll be right back. It's What You Spinning, episode 95. Boom. All right, fellas, let's move it right along. Go to the year 2023 for quite a shocker to the music world, with Jake's pick for this week. What do you got, man?
brought up New Blue Sun by Andre 3000. Yes, this is the same Andre 3000 that was a part of Outkast, that did Hey Ya, Sorry Miss Jackson. He released a debut solo album, like what, 10, 15 years plus after.
18 years, yeah.
Yeah,
Like that, yeah.
quite a while. It's like more of an instrumental, ambient kind of. He plays flute and some other wind instruments on this, but it's kind of a cool, like, ambient st style kind of album to it. And it was kind of interesting to me when I first heard it. At first, I was, didn't know what to expect. This is, one of the greatest rappers, in many people's top fives. And I was like, is it a hip hop album? Is it, an instrumental? Is it beats? I don't know. I was expecting something, got something completely different, completely not what I was expecting. But what did you guys think about it? What kind of thoughts do you guys have on it?
I think I take your sentiment there, and like when this album first came out, I was like, all right, let's turn it on, see what we got. Nope, this is not Andre 3000. I've got my ambient mix. I don't need any more ambient, so I kind of put it to the side, honestly, to be honest. But picking it back up after you brought it up, like, I wish I hadn't, because this is such a great album. Like, it gives me Eno vibes all the way throughout. Like, it's very ambient, it's very calm. There's so many different things going on throughout the whole album that you're just like, what the fuck? Like, what did he do? Did he just like take a bunch of hallucinogens and like go down the ambient wormhole? Like, I'm so confused as to where he got his inspiration, but I love it. I'm glad that he did this. I know he's probably got a lot of, bars that he wants to spit out, but for this is great. Like, I'll put this on all day. For me, it was something that I could put out in the background. Trying to pick top three was impossible because the whole album's really good. And I think it showcases what he can do. Like, he had done some experimental work with his flute on a couple different movie soundtracks previous to this. So I think he kind of had his footing in the door, but for him to go from like one, like you said, Jake, one of the greatest, top five lyricists of all time in hip hop to this, like, nobody's done that before. And I think he's been overlooked a little bit by this direction that he's gone into. But for somebody to be like one of the best hip hop and be a part of Outkast, one of the greatest hip hop duos of all time, and then just completely go 90 degrees into something else is huge. Like, nobody's done that. And for you to do it and do it well, man. What else does he have out there? I can't wait to hear more stuff, and this album is great. So thank you for bringing it up. Thank you for bringing it back on my radar. I wish I hadn't slept on it, but I didn't now, so we're good.
Hell yeah. Everything Matt just said is same. Like I'm gonna piggyback off of everything because I did the same exact thing. I was like, oh shit, because we all knew, hip hop knew as a whole, the community, that Andre 3000 hadn't put out an album since Outkast disbanded. Because he decided he wanted to play Jimi Hendrix in fucking biopics and play the flute for movie soundtracks. Like, so I remember this coming out and being like, hell yes, Andre 3000 bars, I love me some Three Stacks. And then you turn it on and it's exactly, fucking Brian, it's an Eno album. And my brain hadn't fully turned on to the wonder that is ambient music. And so I did the same exact thing. I said, get this horse shit out of here. I was like, fuck, forget this. I was like, ambient Andre is for the birds. I was like, I don't need this shit. And I think, like, because of how quickly I dismissed it, I just totally didn't even think about it when I started going down my own little journey of discovering ambient music that I went on this year. And Matt, you said it perfectly. I'm like, God damn it. Like, why did I sleep on this for so long? Because there's just wonderful stuff in here that I'm like, oh yeah, this is right up all three of our alleys. The flute, the wind controller, the weird shaker. Like, somebody's literally playing there. If you go to Wikipedia, someone is credited as playing plants. I mean, what are we doing here? like
Like
fucking
nature. Yeah.
shaking ferns and shit. Like, it's so out there. And it's like, then you think about it for about 10 seconds. And you're like, oh, yeah, of course, this is what he did. Like, of course, this is what the kooky guy from Outkast ended up doing. But it's like you said, Matt, it's so impressive just how aggressive of a turn this is from what Outkast was and what Andre 3000 was known for. It's such a crazy veer off of that track, and he really just destroyed it, like just knocked it out of the park with this. And so I'm thoroughly impressed. I now see why they were charging $80 for this. I'm like, okay, like I can, if you're a head, if you're a true Andre 3000 head, I can see. But I digress. Thanks for bringing this up, because I truly don't know if I would have gone down this myself. Like, I probably
No.
still would have just forgotten about it.
Nope. Yeah, thank you, Jake. Yeah, I would have done the same thing. Would not have dove down this, would not have gave it a second look, but thank God you brought it up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is like when I heard of this at first, same. I was like blown away. I was like, I don't know if I'm into it. I kind of listened a little bit more and I got more into like, soundtracks, ambient music, kind of, live stuff like this. And it really caught my ear to that when I started getting into it more. And he's doing a damn good job of it too. And all the work that he, like all the help that he had from this also, Carlos Nino, like one of the producers on here and engineers that helped him out a lot. He's known for doing this like ambient stuff. Pretty cool also. I didn't notice this until I did more research to this album. A couple other people like Nate Mercurio, I think, Nate Mercow, something like that. I love that guy. I've been listening to his music for years. So it's cool seeing that. I was like, oh, okay, he worked on this album too. And it's like, where has this been? Like, how did he get to this point? Like, being one of the greatest hip hop artists of all time and to completely 360 and do this. Like, he pretty much, like, essentially fell off the face of the earth. And would like just show up every now and then at like airports and like plazas playing his flute out of nowhere. And there's like videos of this. Like, where does this come from? It's so out of left field for a hip hop artist that, for good reason, people think, hey, this person's out of their mind. What's going on? Because, they're rapping about this stuff in Outkast. They're doing living this lifestyle and, it completely 360s to something like this. So it's cool seeing like a difference and a change in an artist in that way because, at a certain point he stopped wanting to be associated with, that because it just brought up too much attention, a bunch of issues, because he was so famous at one point that, it's hard doing anything in real life. Like being a human, it's hard. So like, I was looking at a lot of like interviews that he was doing around this time when the album came out because like he didn't want to go back into that, like, fame or media or whatever, but he kind of had to like, bring up the album and get some attention to it. But really interesting what he was saying and the way that he thinks about stuff. It really kind of, I saw the humanity in him, I guess. I saw how, personal he was in those, which is what really drew me to it also, because it's like he's just having fun what he's doing and he's not, getting really big names to help him out or, getting this big production or big studios or whatever or advertising it to everybody. Like he's just, says, hey, this is me, this is what I'm doing now. So it's cool to see that change of, hey, I'm gonna do my own lane and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It's, it doesn't bother him. So that was cool that I liked about it. And yeah, just it being ambient, I was like, this is totally my jam. This is what I want. This is what I listen to.
Right. And it is kind of humanizing that he does have, people that we don't really know, because he very easily could have gone and gotten like Yusuf Diaz, Herb. He could have done an album with Herbie Hancock for all he
He
wanted.
should. He still should. Fuck,
I mean,
man. Get
absolutely.
used to days in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he could have gone with these huge names in modern jazz, and like, he could have collabed with Eno or fucking Twin, any of these guys,
Yeah.
right? And he got, for lack of a better term, nobodies to do it with. And it's just like, to me, what that shows is that Andre 3000, probably from the beginning, was never about getting huge popularity and like making money. He's like just doing it for the love of the game, which I can really get behind and I can really appreciate. And so I agree, Jake. I think that's super, you kind of do see the humanity in that. And, because like I said, if going in it's such a risk, right? Going and doing something so outside of what you're known for that you almost, and then doing it with people that aren't established in that field at all is an even crazier, bigger risk. This album could have sucked. And it's the so far removed from that, it's like so completely the opposite. It's incredible. So yeah, I do think that that's sick that, he didn't go the easy way out. And, to go from making Stankonia to making this is that really just shows I'm just doing it. I'm just doing whatever the fuck I want, man. Like, so shout out to him. I
Yeah, I think Andre
love it.
being so like when he was with Outkast, being a little bit different in the way he approached just everything. You look at the video for ATLiens, like that's just whack, you know. I feel like he had probably had a lot to do with the production on that side. And just kind of taking that direction and being his own self. Like he's obviously unique. He obviously likes ambient music, otherwise he wouldn't went down this rabbit hole at all. I think what he's done has been creative, and if you're a fan of ambient music, you should definitely check this album out. If you're a fan of Andre 3000, you should definitely check this music out, because you'll know what he can do as far as what he is, and like how he can kind of change his sound a little bit, not be that rapper, not be spitting bars and worrying about production and beats and like that. This is just him doing his thing. I don't think there's been hip hop artists who's done that before, so Andre's the one to do it out of anybody out there. Like he's the one that would probably do it, based on his lyricism and how goofy he was with Outkast. And that's not a bad thing at all. It set them apart. You got the hard, big boy being hard street core, and then you got Andre being like goofy and like a little bit happier vibe. Like that's what made Outkast great. And I think that him being able to do his own thing with the ambient sound is great. I would love to know what his influences were, how he got started, like where he found the sound. Like, has he always been this way? Like, I would love to know like more about that. So, this is just a great album.
It's so cool seeing the difference, because I mean at this point, like, he has still done music every now and then. Like, he's been a feature artist to Frank Ocean, to Killer Mike, to Kanye. Like, he's been doing a bunch of features for other artists, but nothing individually, and he would still be rapping on those features. So it's like, it's coming, it's coming, it's got to be a rap album, right? And it's not. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that he kind of, in this way, he can separate himself from Outkast. And maybe, with that comes a different passion, comes a different, hobby that he can get into. Some cool things that came out of this, I kind of showed you guys beforehand. It comes with a poster with the original cover on there, the album cover, and then it came with these like little drawings that I think he did, and they're all kind of unique and different in their own way. So pretty cool that it comes with that. I love when, physical media gives me some more things to fidget with. So yeah, it was cool. Also kind of funny, Dorian kind of led it onto it. But when we went to pick this up last time, we went up to
Oh,
Portland,
dude.
Atlanta. I saw this was like up top in the jazz section, like right as we were like wrapping up for the day. And I had some, I think I had Jamie XX in waves in my hand, and I saw this and I was like, okay, I'm picking this up. And I tried haggling the guy up front because it was like 80 something. I don't know.
He gave you a death threat, I think.
I was like, hey man, can we drop it like, $4 or $5? Nothing too crazy. I'm not asking, like, hey, $20, well, let me take it. Like, I really tried with this guy, and I was like, hey, like, come on, just a little discount here. But no, my speech wasn't high enough, or it wasn't the right day, right time. I don't know. He
He
shut
was
me
in a
down.
different genre. He was like in the Nine Inch Nails heavy industrial sound. Like you brought the wrong album. If you would ask for Broken to be discounted, he would have definitely.
He shut me down. But no, this is one of those albums that I've been on the lookout for since I heard it, and It was my mission to like not want to buy it online. I kind of wanted to see it in person, let it be natural. So yeah, I did bought it, and I'm glad I was able to bring it up. So thank you guys for listening to it. It was a good listen.
Yeah, it's the
Hell
next
yeah.
album that on my radar for buy-in for sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to figure out which 12-minute track I gotta add to my ambient playlist. Maybe the whole thing. We'll see. But yeah, I was thoroughly impressed by this. And again, this is another example. I don't know if I ever would have gone out of my way to listen to this. So I definitely appreciate you bringing it up. I think it's well worth a listen.
Yeah,
Oh yeah.
thank you for bringing this up because, like Dorian just said, I probably wouldn't have dove back into it, and I'm glad that I did because I'm like, holy crap, like this has so many influences on it, and like for him to do his own spin on it and like take all those influences and put it into his own, it's a classic album. If you
Oh yeah.
like ambient music, you need to listen to this.
Yeah.
100%.
Definitely, definitely. We can get into our picks for the album. I'll start us off. It's not a whole lot. There's only eight songs on the album, but it is an hour and a half, just about. Pretty funny song titles as well. Honorable mention, I'm going Dreams Once Buried Beneath the Dungeon Floor, Sprout. Slowly sprout into undying gardens. In the interview that I saw that he did with GQ, he said that was kind of a reference, a drawback to the dungeon in the studio that they would do with,
Dungeon
Outkast, Fetty
family.
Mop, stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. It's honorable mention. Number three was the title track. I swear I really wanted to make a rap album, but this is literally The Way the Wind Blew Me. Number two, the slang word pussy rolls off the tongue, yada, yada, yada. It's a really long track title. These are crazy titles if you want to read them on your own. But my favorite track was Ants to You, Gods to Who. Really like that song.
Yes, good track. I'll follow up on that.
No, you go ahead.
That was my honorable mention for sure. And then I went Nights in Hawaii. I'm just gonna kind of abbreviate the tracks because they're so long. 93 till Infinity was my number three. And then You Gods to Who was my number two. And then number one was that I just think like the song title in general just like throws kind of an outcast through to it. The slang word for pussy rolls off. Like that track.
Yep. Yeah, incredible. I think that's what makes it really an Andre 3000 album for me is the song titles alone. Like, I'm like, that's where the Outkast like reminisce like very reminiscent of him being the goofball from that duo. Honorable mention for me, Ants to You, Gods to Who, popular one around the cast apparently. Number three for me, the slang word pussy, great song there. Number two for me, 93 to Infinity and Beyonce. And then number one, That Night in Hawaii. Just really like that one. Yeah, man, that's a hell of an ambient track right there. So yeah, I love this man. Great pick. I do have this thought that I wanted to share real quick. If you like Matt said, if you like ambient music, listen to this. If you like Outkast, listen to this. I implore you, if you listen to this, go immediately back and go listen to something like any song off of Aquemini. It makes Andre 3000's like more introspective raps that much crazier when you listen to him do an ambient album and then immediately go and listen to the track Aquemini or like Rosa Parks. You're like,
Or even
how?
the title track, yeah, Aquemini, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck? So go ahead and do that. Give this a listen. New Blue Sun by Andre 3000, released in 2023. Man can play the hell out of a flute and compose some damn good ambient music. That was Jake's pick for this episode 95 of What You Spinning. We'll be right back to put a big old bow on it and talk about mine. We'll be right back. Oh yeah. Three great music minds on this podcast. And I'm not just talking about the three people talking about music. Ayo.
Hey-o.
What's up, y'all? I think it's about time to wrap this baby up. But before we really finalize it and put the button on it, we got to talk about one more album. That being my pick for this week, one that I'm super duper stoked to talk about. Matt said it. Been a while. Surprised we haven't brought this one up yet. We've talked about this band once before. Maynard James Keenan, the singer's a tried and true loved artist on this pod, I would say. This is one of my favorite albums of all time, released in early 2000. I'm going with Mer de Noms by A Perfect Circle. Their debut, Billy Howerdell. You might remember when we talked about 13th Step, Billy Howerdell, former guitar tech for Tool. Him and Maynard ended up living together for a little bit. And Billy was playing, loose, song samples that he had for Maynard. And Maynard said, I can imagine myself singing on these songs. Fast forward about 2, 3 years later, we get a truly timeless alternative metal album. One that I think it's insane to me. I get reminded like once every 2 or 3 years that this album came out in 2000 and not 2011, because it sounds, like I said, it's a timeless album. Obviously, I love it. I've got a lot to say about it. But what did you guys think?
I think you summed it up perfectly with being ahead of its time. Like in 2000, like this wasn't on my radar at all in 2000. Like I was a Tool fan for sure, but A Perfect Circle wasn't on my radar. And you listen to this album now and you're like, no way it came out in 2000. Like this is no, but it did. And it is what it is. But if you're a fan of Maynard's vocal, this is the one for you. I think he showcases his vocal range a little bit more with A Perfect Circle, whether it be the high notes, the falsettos, or just the overall melodies. Like Tool's a very specific band. He does have his melodies in that band, but like A Perfect Circle is just completely different. Plus, you get
Yes.
the two vocalists. You get Billy Howerdell singing too. And this album has everything from the opening track to Judith to everything in between. This album has it all. And I think if you're on the Maynard James Keenan bandwagon, like you have to have this on your radar, whether it be this or Pussifer. Like, if you're a fan of his vocal, like this is where it's at right here. So I was very happy that you brought this album up. I think after bringing up a 13th Step a long ass time ago, this is the album that kind of, is the forefront of everything, with Judith and like just his range in general. It's so good. So I'm so glad you brought this up. Love this album. I mean, I can go on and on about it, but let's just break it down. What do we got?
Yeah, no, I am sure the very similar sentiment to both of you, I'm sure. This album I had heard initially back when we listened to 13 Step when Matt brought that up. I fell in love with that album and with the group. So you guys said, listen to Mer de Noms, and I heard a little bit of it, and the little bit that I heard was enough to, I like this, I love this. And then listening it to this week for the pod, man, what a listen, man. What an album, what a time, what a project to bring up, and like a cool, reuniting of, with Howerdell and Maynard. It's cool that they did this and started this, because yeah, this did bring on, the rest of Perfect Circle, and I'm sure it had a big influence also with Tool, what he was doing at the time, and seeing, hey, I can be successful with, another band and my current band. Let's, add on Pussifer, add on this other stuff. So it's cool seeing that this, in a way you could think of it as bridging, like, the worlds between those bands, those discographies. But this album in itself, man, it's solid front to back. It's like all killer, no filler. The show we were talking about a little bit, the show when we went to go see Susanta, Perfect Circle, I was really hoping also they'd bring up some more songs off of this album, because man, it's so good. Such a perfect culmination, and it's like really polished too. It's for what it is, especially being a debut for an album that they're bringing all together, these artists, they all fit together perfectly. And they all flow so well on what they're doing on this album. So great listen. Definitely this one is going on the list of, albums that I need to keep an eye out. Just like 13 Step also, but no, solid project. Really like this.
Hell yeah. I'm glad that I figured I was like, hey, we all just saw him in concert. You know, this is probably a pretty safe bet, but it was more about bringing this up and like talking about like how just you said it, Jake, how polished this is. Matt, you mentioned it. I feel like this might be Maynard's best album, to be quite honest, like vocally, like showing his range and, you know, what he can do with his voice and everything. You know, there's some early Tool stuff, like, you know, fucking The Grudge off of Lateralis, which came out a year later. You know, there's some stuff like that that's also super impressive. But I think there's so much more emotion when it comes to A Perfect Circle, man. Like, I don't know what it is, but it is, like you said it, Matt, it's a completely different beast than Tool. You know, the fact that Maynard is in it doesn't mean shit, really. It's got, like, the sound is like way bigger, it's more expansive. Like, the fact that you turn this on and within three songs, like, you can identify, oh, Billy Howerdell has a very specific guitar sound. Like, and it's the first album, dude, and there's still not many players sound like Billy Howerdell. Like, the way that he uses reverb and all of this other shit and the tunings that he uses are like kind of wonky at times, and you
Even
get that.
his vocal with his falsetto, like,
Oh yeah. So you get him doing his falsetto shit with on top of Maynard, and it's like what the hell, man? It is insane to me. And yeah, like I said, I'm just gonna keep beating the drum. I think it's probably also a little bit to do with it. I discovered A Perfect Circle right around 2010, 2011. So it was like brand new. I was like, oh my God. But it's still, I've been listening to this album for like a month and a half on, you know, it's been on repeat for like a month and a half for me. It still sounds like something that could have come out 14 years ago rather than 25. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, I mean, we said it. Judith's a great song, but I mean, come the fuck on. Three Libras, insane. One of the most emotional Maynard tracks I think he's still ever done. The Hollow. I mean, dude, it's a hell of a way to start an album off, like, and you know, The Hollow into Magdalena into Rose. Like, there's these three song runs on this album that are just disgustingly good. Yeah, man, this is one that I'm almost about to just shoot my own episode and break this down song by song and be like, listen fucking here, man. I get so red string about this album sometimes, but yeah, this is truly just, like I said, in my opinion, it's hard for me to find an album. Maybe it's like this and Lateralis for best Maynard albums, in my opinion. And it really depends on what day you catch me on, and it'll swap. But yeah, truly remarkable.
I'll steal a page from Wikipedia, but the translation for the album title for Amir de Moms is La Cascade des Prénoms, which translates to the waterfall of first names. And I feel like you have a lot of first names on this album, whether it be Brenna or Judith, all those things. And a lot of the things he's talking about, like with Judith, is his own mom and the issues that she went being disabled and being a believer in Jesus Christ and like all the things that go along with that. And he's like, well, by the way, you're disabled, and like he puts you in that situation, like whatever the situation is, like he's very like introspective and like this isn't your fault, like you're a great person and like you're just put in the situation. So like him being able to be introspective in the lyrics is huge, and I think Maynard's being able to do that with this band more than any other band, whether it be Tool or maybe Pussifer a little bit more, but like Tool, it's very like distinctive. Like there's a certain lyrical content, a certain musical style. With the Perfect Circle, it's a lot different. He's able to be himself. He's able to like kind of express himself in a little different manner. And I think he just does a good job with that all the way around. I love Maynard and his vocal and being able to, be the dynamic falsetto and drop it down a little bit. I think you hear his vocal range a little bit more with the Perfect Circle than Tool. Tool's a little bit more aggressive, and you got the little more audio effects and things like that. I think with the Perfect Circle, he doesn't use any of that. He's just doing his thing, and I love that about him.
Yeah, but it's also kind of same. It goes all over the place with the feeling of the song. Like, some feel a lot more sentimental and introspective, like Three Libras, and then you'll have like slower and even fast-paced songs like Thinking of You. It's like feels more heavy hitting with his vocals also. He adds like a cool setting to that. And Thomas also has these like haunting vocals from him. So cool that he, at this point is already kind of knows how to use his voice as an instrument in itself. And then songs like Orestes, that it's like calmer. It's like much, much calmer in comparison. So he has like the cool difference of, shifts of how it's leading the album throughout. But for the most part, man, it's fucking solid. Like every song on here, I can't think of that I would skip. Breña's song is awesome. It's killer. Three Libras is, I caught myself listening to that one a lot more and more these last couple of weeks. But no, I mean, it's a solid listen, and it feels still pretty new to me. In a sense, too, it's like when you just discovered a band and you're like constantly listening to it. Like for last week, the whole week, pretty much, whenever I was at the gym, I was like playing this at some point. So, yeah, thank you for bringing this up.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's hard hitting, it's emotional, it's everything that you could want. Maynard has kind of always had this kind of mysticism to him and to his voice and everything, and the music that he puts out, no matter which of the three bands you want to get into, it does kind of have a little bit of mysticism, like weird trippiness to it. And Matt, you said it perfectly, man. Tool's got the more aggressive side. This is really where he can let all of that shit out. And I mean, I think being in a band like Pussifer would be super fun. Like, it's kind of goofy, like it seems like a good time. But it's like a perfect circle when I think about like what type of music I would want to make. I'm like, yeah, this is like the band I would want to be in out of the three. Like, it's just groovy. There's like the way that these songs are structured. Like, if you listen to Rose, I was really getting into this song this morning. You listen to it like toward the like that bridge part, it's like at the end of every line, the music, like the instrumentation, like changes what they're doing and like breaks it down, like starts playing way fast, and just stuff like that is just rampant on this album. Three Libras is, very expansive, very majestic sounding song. Orestes, the just incredible stuff. Sleeping Beauty, I feel like that's a song that gets kind of overlooked. That was one that I was like, if this gets played at Susanta, I will cry. Like, I was like, I will bubble like a baby. But yeah, like what I'm trying to say is like Maynard in and of itself, his voice on this album is impressive. It's like I said, probably one of my favorite performances of his. But the way that they wrote the instrument, like the music that they play, is just like so interesting. And there's something that you'll find that like piques your ear every time you listen to this. And that's why I still think it's one of my favorite albums after I've been listening to it for 20 years. I've listened to this album for over half of my life, and I'm like, yeah, there's still not much that beats this.
No, I agree. I think his lyricism throughout this album too, and just in a perfect circle in general, like it's more through the heart. Like Tool's its own thing and its own beast, and I think he's able to express himself a little bit more, whether it be about his own personal life, his own trials and tribulations, things like that. I think, perfect circles is like that's his thing, where he can like express himself and like not be ashamed or afraid to just spit it out there. And I love that about him, even Pussifer in a sense. And I like this album because there's so many different musicians on it. Got Tim Alexander playing drums on the first track. I mean, there's everybody we saw with the Susanta is like all involved. It's like this one little like community of like, it's like a commune of people. Like it's all them together. What a great commune to be a part of. So.
I agree. Damn it. I had something. Based off what you were saying, like this is like Maynard's thing. Like, I think this is probably his favorite one that he's involved in. But also, when A Perfect Circle was getting a record deal before this came out, he didn't go with the record label that Tool was on because Virgin was more willing to work with Maynard and treat it as an equal project to Tool.
Which
Like,
is not.
he was like, Maynard was like, I want this to be seen, not, it's not a lesser side project. He's like, I care just about I care as much about A Perfect Circle as I do Tool. He's like, my priorities are the fucking same. Like, don't undersell this. And thank God he did, man. Because, like, it's wild the amount of people that are like, I saw a guy at Jerry's yesterday wearing a Perfect Circle t-shirt. Like, they're fucking everywhere, man. So thank God that, like, the PR or whatever, you know, the way that they promoted A Perfect Circle was the way that they did, because we got some good stuff. But,
APC is more like accessible rock music, whereas Tool is more like progressive. Like if you like Rush and like you like that long ass fucking 12-minute song, like there you go. APC is a short and sweet.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, man, they are the short and sweet, but goddamn, it's worth it.
Oh, good. So good.
But yeah, I anything else, or do we want to dive into some top threes?
I just want to say that Maynard James Keenan is very versatile in his lyrical approach, and for being able to dive into three different bands and like put your own spin on every single one of those bands is pretty unique and like hard to do. Like he could sound the same, you know, and be like with three different bands and just like spit the same shit out. But for Tool, it's aggressive. For APC, it's like a melodic, and for Pussifer, it's like goofy. For all having all those three there, like I don't know, that's pretty unique and pretty epic for a vocalist to be able to do that and you know maintain for as long as he has. You know, Pussifer's been around for a while. APC the same, and Tool obviously. So he knows what he's doing. So I appreciate that. Nobody else is doing that. Nobody else is doing that. Like, name me an artist that's doing that with any genre, please. Like, nobody's doing
As to quote somebody that we heard, some random person passing by at the Susanta show, that he's probably one of the best front men of like any band,
hell
like
yeah.
ever. Probably, maybe, because yeah, his versatility, his track record that he has with these bands, and also just as a musician, is shows a lot. And yeah, he's fantastic. The band is amazing. It initially what drew me into Perfect Circle was just the cohesiveness of everything. So, yeah, really love this band. Love this album too.
And he's 61 years old. Jesus Christ.
Dude. And the motherfucker can make some wine, let me tell you. Not half bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that we got a chance to talk about this and, really give it some appreciation. Seeing Maynard live, seeing all three of the bands live at this point, is I recommend that to anybody that's a fan of any of his groups. Even if you're just into Tool, go see A Perfect Circle and Pussifer, because you're gonna love them by the end of it. Because it is like it is they're different beasts. Like, they're so different, even though it's the same guy. So yeah, and the live aspect is really cool. But we'll go ahead and dive into top thrizzles. Honorable mentions for me, was super into this song when I first heard this album, but it was like a one of those revisits gave me a lot of appreciation for the song, The Hollow. Totally forgot Tim Alexander played drums on that until this morning. But just that when he whispers the word screaming and then does the chorus, oh, dude, gives me chills just talking about it. It's so good. Just really fucking dynamic work on that. Number or second honorable mention for me, Matt, you text me about this and I immediately went and listened to it, thinking of you. Insane song. One that I almost had forgotten about myself. Number three for me, this was another creeper in this morning, made it into my top three, Rose. Just the way that that song starts off and where it goes and where it ends is truly something. Number two for me is Sleeping Beauty. Just really strong vocal on that. The instrumentation's killer. Really love the guitar riff on it. And the number one has been my favorite for a long ass time, Orestes. Just that, give me one more medicated, peaceful moment. Jesus Christ, man, what a line. Like, yeah, I turn to Maynard's music a lot when I've like been going through shit, and that song is no fucking exception. That line is truly hard hitting, depending on the time. But yeah, man, love Mare de Noms, love A Perfect Circle, love anything Maynard does. Glad we got to talk about this. But yeah, what are y'all's?
Yeah, I think Maynard's very descriptive or intricate with the way he describes his feeling upon music, because he's taken, you know, the ayahuasca and like, you know, been down all those trips. So like I feel like his description of songs are pretty unique. But for me, honorable mention also The Hollow, you know, great opening track. Love that Tim Alexander duo. Number three, Thinking of You. Number two, Thomas, and then I love Magdalena. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa! Like, no, no. It just has everything that you could feel. Like, if you're a fan of Tool, it's there for you. If you're a fan of APC, it's there for you. It's just a great song all in general.
Oh yeah, that song also on my list as well. Honorable mention, Three Libras. Really like that song. At first, when I heard it, I was like, okay, this is nice. And then
It's like the ballad of the album.
yeah, it just got better and better every time. This is my honorable mention. Number three was Breña. Really like that song. Number two, Thomas. And then my favorite track was Thinking of You. I like that. Like that song, man. Great stuff.
Hell yeah.
Thinking of you.
Dude, give me anything Maynard whispers on, and I'm gonna be a fan of it. It's just so crazy. Hell yeah, man. Well, like I said, love this album, love this group. Really stoked that we got a chance to talk about this. That album being 2000's Mare de Noms, the debut from A Perfect Circle. Go ahead and give it a listen. Listen to any other project by Maynard. But this one in particular, I urge you listen to the full thing. It's and then listen to it again because you're gonna miss something, I promise. But that was my pick for this episode 95 of What You Spinning. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming in about 2 weeks' time. Stick around. All right. Well, man, that was some fun. Talking about three of the most interesting minds in music, Mike Patton, Andre 3000, motherfucking Maynard James Keenan. That's a damn good episode. That's a damn
Yes.
good session talking some music with the fellas. But it's about time to let y'all know what's coming in about 2 weeks' time. We go in the order that we just shared our picks for this week, which means, Jake, you're up first, my man. Or
Nope,
no. Matt.
you're wrong.
Matt.
Call him
Yeah. I was
out,
looking. I had my
how dare
notebook.
you?
My notebook was not on the right page, to be quite honest with you. Did not realize that. So yeah, Matt, why don't you tell us what you've got coming in about 2 weeks' time?
I've been feeling the summer vibes and the rock music, like I hinted to a little bit before with Slift and Uman, the modern day progressive heavy metal. I don't think we've talked about this band ever before, so we're going to 1975 Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti. Double album, not too long, but this is one of their best albums for sure, in my opinion.
Indeed, it is. Great pick.
Thanks. Good summertime vibe. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, Jake, if you'd
Very
be so kind,
nice.
now it's your
Yes.
turn.
My turn. So 2016, this came out in 2016. Flatbush Zombies, 3001 Laced Odyssey. It was about time. I couldn't think about what I was going to pick, and I thought, why the hell have I not talked about this yet? So,
When I say that album was the soundtrack to like a solid 3 years of my life, dude, I was listening,
nice.
dude. When I was slinging shoes and getting into general scumbaggery, let me tell you, 3001.
Molly, yeah.
Yeah. fuck, I love that album. That was in the bracket. It got absolutely pink misted in the first round, but
Yeah,
I at
it
least
got
tried to.
dismissed right away. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to give it a good shot. I appreciate that. Fuck yeah, Jake. Good one. I am going in the same vein as Matt. Summertime, driving around, listening to loud, heavy music. This is one that I've been doing that a lot with lately. I want you guys to share in that experience with me. I promise this is probably the last time I'm ever going to talk about this band. I've been trying to hold off on bringing this one up, but I'm going with 2003's self-titled Deftones album.
Nice.
This is a really, really good one for driving around with the windows rolled down. It's pretty aggressive. There's a the when they do get soft and slow on this album, it's fucking incredible. So yeah,
Nice.
that is an episode. That is two bangers back to back. We just had Again, Faith No More, Perfect Circle, fucking Andre. But then we're going into Led Zeppelin, Flatbush Zombies, and Deftones. I mean, who are we?
That sums up our podcast right there. I'm
Dude,
talking right there. That's what you're spinning right there to a T.
that is what you spin in. Go ahead and listen to all six of those albums that I just mentioned, the three from today, the three we're gonna listen to. Go ahead, support your local record store. If you're in Eugene, go support Moonrock Records on West 11th, or yeah, on West 11th. Cali there is fucking
East
great.
11th.
East, yes, it is right before it turns into. You're right. Yeah, go support them in particular. I was talking to her the other day, and she would love to see more of your faces in there. Other than that, support local artists. If you've got a buddy that's in a band, maybe go out, have a cocktail or a mocktail and listen to them play their music. I'm sure they would love it. Try new food. If you're a cook, try cooking something new. But yeah, send a friend a song. I know I've been beating that drum a lot lately, but I love sharing music with people. I love when people share music with me. So go ahead and do that. Let people know about the show. Follow us on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram at Dorian Dilly. We love you. I'm Dorian. That's Matt, and that's Jake. We are What You Spin In. This has been What You Spin In, episode 95. Go ahead and have a great day. Peace.